Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
I'm your host, Don McGuire. Today is the Misfits of Gold Weekly Special. You know, I kind of entitled it a little bit funny because, you know, today we choose a day to pick topics that are real. They have value in life. It's not just about the fight world. It's about the fighter and things surrounding them. The gentleman that I have on the show today, I've had him on in a previous interview. And I felt it was very prevalent to bring him on, touch bases with him, and see where he's at in life. With that being said, let's welcome Jordan Bailey to the program. Jordan, how's it going?
It's going awesome, man. Good to be on. How you doing?
Oh, man. Honestly, bro, I've been slammed. You know, I try to say I'm going to retire, but, you know, like, that shit don't happen, bro. When you look at the sport, it decides to let go of you. You can't let go of it. So I was supposed to have a nice weekend with my buddy from Wisconsin. We ended up at Showtime, Showbox in Miami, Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
Seminar. Yeah, then I had a seminar the next morning in Webb City, and then I had to shoot Invicta in Kansas City that night. So it was like, I guess if that's slowing down, I think it is. I don't know. You know, but the point is, the reason I love doing this show, man, is because the Misfits of Gold truly are a group of young people that really walk their own walk in life. Where does Jordan Bailey fit in that walk of the Misfits of Gold?
You know, I wouldn't say any of us necessarily, like, fit in a certain walk. It's just we all do our own walk, you know what I'm saying? So it's cool because, like, we're just all free to kind of be ourselves that way, as opposed to, like, having to say, like, certain things during an interview or something. It's like, you know, if something's not going the way we want, like, we'll just kind of speak up. You know, we're not drinking the Kool-Aid over there as much.
Yeah, not conforming to the stereotypical, oh, this is what you got to do, this is what you got to say. And that right there in itself is a true testament to why I bring MF back and all the Misfits of Gold on. Not one of them conforms to anybody's walk but their own. You know, you look at Sam Toomer, you look at everybody, Travis Hyland. You know, what did it mean to you for Jordan Bailey to find a group that he felt comfortable with and that he could be himself?
Well, that's basically it right there. Just that comfort feeling, you know, of like, you know, these motherfuckers are cool, dude. Like, I can talk to them about whatever I want to talk about. And, like, even if they disagree, it comes to a point where, like, they understand, you know, and, like, they're cool with that. Like, we don't always agree on everything, but even though we don't agree on certain things, doesn't mean we don't respect our opinions on that matter, you know?
Well, hey, man, even real family, you know, if you don't fight, then you ain't fucking blood, bro. I mean, when you break
right?
it down, real family brawls, man, everybody thinks that it has to be this little house on the prairie crap, and that's not real life, and that's what most of the sport wants people to see. They wanted to see this conforming, this everything is perfect in life, and it's not that way in a real walk. You know, what would you say you've most gained from start to finish, ending up where you're at now, Jordan?
An open mind, you know, for sure. Just like I'm complete. I've always tried to keep an open mind, but and just hanging out with like MF and Travis and Sam and stuff, it's like my mind is totally open to all these different possibilities, you know. Like, I used to kind of dismiss, like, some martial arts and stuff, but, like, now, dude, like, I'll be, like, looking up, like, karate videos from the 70s, you know, just to check out some old kicks or something new, you know, and just kind of approaching things in a different manner than I did before.
Would you say it kind of has really lifted a load off your back and opened your heart and allowed you just to be who you perceive yourself to be as a mixed martial artist?
Yeah. I would say it's definitely, I feel a lot more relaxed and I'm not as pressured to try and be what, like, every gym wants me to be, you know? Like, I don't got to be like, oh, you know, I need to do this practice, and then, like, if I don't do it, like, it's bad, and if I say this or that, I'm bad. Being with the Misfits, it's just more like, hey, man, like, obviously, you're going to work as hard as you can, you know? But you can do it in your own way. You don't have to do what you're told to do, you know? And, like, let's say there's a certain technique. I would say out of everyone on MMA Gold in general, I get told most that I can't do certain things because of the way I fight. But then I'm just saying, okay, well, I'm going to prove you wrong now, you know? And whereas, like, when I started training with MF, he's like, you know what, I never really seen that before, but fuck, you know, if that's the way your body naturally moves, let's adapt, correct some things, and make it your technique instead of just repeating some other someone else's technique. Make it your technique, you know?
You know, I kind of brought up a little bit of a scenario before we went live, and, you know, this has been a thought that's just in my mind with a multitude of gyms across the country. You know, everybody seems to be making this lean towards what I consider a fad, and I think it will dwindle out shortly here, and a lot of people will be left looking like, oh, shit, you know, and I think it's the aspect that they have to push the WMMA fighters, and in doing so, they're putting some of the tremendous talent that they have that has truly earned their way and built that path for these gyms. I think, you know, putting, you know, WMMA up there is a great thing, but when you start, you know, only wanting to get your female fighters out there, I think it hinders a gym, and it makes the other fighters feel not as much allocated in the thoughts of the management. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would say that's a completely fair assessment, you know. I do love, like, just the women's MMA, and, you know, like, a perfect example is the whole Ronda Rousey, like, how much they were pushing her to be, like, this great thing, and then you see she really wasn't. But at the end of the day with that, like, I'm really happy all that happened because I have two little sisters, you know. One's wrestling right now, and things like that give her hope to be able to do, like, what she wants to do, you know, and it gives more inspiration to girls that are trying to get into it. But, yeah, at the same time, you do see a lot of gyms pushing certain fighters that, you know, they may not be the greatest fighter, but they're girls and stuff and whatever, and they'll kind of shine away other fighters. But, I mean, I'm not really tripping on that. That motivates me. It's like I want people to want me to fail, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, fucking, I'll prove you wrong in a second.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. You know, the only thing about, you know, and I think we'll touch on WMMA for just a second, and then we'll move on. You know, there is one lady that has truly been a pioneer of WMMA from the start, and I don't think she's truly gotten her true, I guess the true backing, her true personification on that. And that would be Shannon Knapp. You know, here you take this lady that decided to build a promotion that was nothing but female, and
yeah,
through, you know, hell and high water, she's made this promotion succeed. And you look at, she doesn't get the credit that she deserves. And you know, I think that she's finally getting justification now, as, you know, just about 70% of her stable was pulled up into the UFC. And it just says a lot about Shannon. You know, when you look at the sport in general, you know, I had you on my show before. You were a very humble young man, and you can, I can tell that, you know, the first interview we did was somewhat conformed. You know, how does it feel now for Travis, you know, to be able to go out there? I mean, not Travis, Jordan, to go out there. I'm used to interviewing Travis. But for you, Jordan, yeah, to go out there and be able to walk your walk, to be the man that you want to be when you step into the octagon.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like I said, just a lot more comfortable, you know. I mean, I don't like being fake. I don't like trying to make other people like me, you know. So it's cool to just kind of have this interview where I can just kind of, because the one before, it was kind of set up, and like I wasn't too sure how I wanted to represent myself for the team and stuff. But I mean, this was like the Misfits of Gold one, so I'm just kind of like this is me, you know. It's a lot more relaxing for sure, and I just don't feel, I didn't feel as good with myself as I do with this one, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't like go out of my way to be fake or anything. I just wasn't, I would say I wasn't being as real as I probably could have been, and maybe just didn't speak my mind as much. And like you said, I just kind of had these manufactured answers to a lot of things.
Yeah, you know, now we're going to put the man in the corner, in the spotlight. You know, he likes to stay in the shadows. He likes to truly not even, you know, jump up on his own weekly special. But, you know, I found a brother in MF Beck a long time ago, and, you know, we connected because we both truly see the light for what it is, as with you and Sam Toomer and Travis and all the other Misfits of Gold. We see life for what it is, with altruism and realism. And, you know, I look at MF because I think he's a tremendous man in life. You know, you look at Jason from Oligan. Jason, you know, here you had a young man that, you know, was being told you need to be an MMA fighter, you need to do this. And when he went to MF, truly in his heart, his passion wasn't in the octagon. And MF,
yeah,
took him to the side and said, bro, you know what, I want you to be you. I want you to, you know, be happy and succeed with what you want to do, whether it's in the octagon or whether whatever walk it is in life. What has MF Beck said to you, and how has he guided Jordan to the life and to the point he's at now?
Honestly, man, I think MF is the man, and he'll tell you differently. He'll say, you know, like he's just part of the crew and stuff. And like a lot of people don't realize how humble that guy is. And, you know, like he almost gets mad when I put him on a pedestal, but really, dude, like he is kind of our fucking, like our leader, you know. And, but dude, he'll tell you the complete opposite, you know. He'll tell you like, listen, man, I'm just part of the team. We're all helping each other out here, you know. And he's a super humble guy. Never once has he told me, you need to show up to my practice this many times a day or else you're not going to do well. Or never once has he just been like, listen, if you do what this guy says, it's not going to work, you know. It's always been like, hey, man, do what you got to do, you know. Like, he wants me to work with different fighting coaches. He wants me to do what makes me succeed the most as a fighter. And it's not like he's letting me be lazy with things and, like, not come to practice, you know. He's like, hey, you know, like, you don't have to come to my practice, but you need to be going to a practice unless you want to lose, you know. And it's just his openness and his humbleness really draws people to him. And like I said, he'll never tell you, but he really is the man, you know. He's really helped form this whole thing, and I think he's made all the Misfits better people in general, to be honest.
And I truly agree with that. Would you say that you stepping away from the conformed atmosphere has hindered you in proceeding with your fight career without getting the, you know, the airtime, the play, or, you know, the promotion that you're so rightfully deserved? Do you think it's hindered you in any way from from being able to get fight after fight?
No, you know, I wouldn't say I've even necessarily stepped away from, like, a lot of the conformity of the MMA Gold Gym and stuff at all, you know. I've just kind of shifted my focus a little. As far as getting fights booked and all that stuff, I mean, that will come, dude. Everyone wants to fight me. Everyone hates me, dude. Like, I'll find fights, you know. I'm not worried about that. And like I said, nothing pumps me up more than when people don't want to promote me. So when I see other fighters getting promoted that I don't necessarily think should be, that just makes me go, like, all right, well, check out my next fight. Basically, my word for this year has just been undeniable, you know. By the end of this year, I just want to be undeniable. By the end of my career, I just want to be undeniable in everything I do.
You know, that's truly a very straightforward answer, and I respect that. You know, a lot of people, you know, say, Don, you could bring on world champions and you could do this time after time, but, man, honestly, and I apologize to my listeners, fuck all that head. You know, these are much more the regular, you know, the interviews I would rather do, because the future of the sport is the sport, you know, and you have a tremendous, you know, start to your future. But one thing I like to do on my show, and that's what I like to do on this weekly special, The Misfits of Gold, is kind of let each person, you know, like I did with Sam and everybody else, who is Jordan Bailey in life, and what does his walk in life mean to him?
That's a good question, man. It's a tough one. I mean, he's a person. I'm just a fighter, you know, and I am a person. Like, I make a lot of mistakes. And lately, to be honest, I've just been trying to clean up my life and get everything in perspective, you know, from pretty much 12 years old to a couple months ago, dude. Like, I was just all about me. I was all about partying, getting drunk, and you know, now I'm starting to look at things a little different. You know, I'm 24. I'm getting old. Like I said, if I would have lost that last fight, you know, it's probably time to start thinking about retiring. And the bottom line is, this isn't something I can live without, you know. This is something I have to do. Like, this is my life. And another really cool thing, and this is, like, more so, I've just learned so much from Sam. I really kind of took a lot of his thought process going into my last fight, and it was by far the most focused and calm I ever felt in a fight. But just really, instead of being a fighter, I want to start transitioning into being a martial artist. And for me, the difference between the two is I was always a martial artist in the cage when I'm fighting. I'm always at, like, that's a fighter, you know. But I want to be a martial artist in the sense that I want to be able to do these good things outside of the cage as well. Because I'm not going to lie, I've been a horrible person, you know. I have not been a good person outside of the cage for the most part. And it's not so much that I'm malicious and I'm looking to hurt people. It's just that, like, I didn't care, you know. I was just very not caring of my actions and things and didn't think about maybe how they could affect other people. And like I said, I was never malicious and wanted to hurt people. I just didn't care. Whereas now I'm really trying to do my best to, like, help people out, you know, and life is bigger than me, and this everything about it is bigger than yourself as a person, and you got to realize that, you know. Our concept of time is just so skewed. I mean, time is, there's so much time, and we're less than a grain of sand on here, you know. So if you can affect something bigger than yourself, I think that's a lot more important.
I truly love that analogy. That's pretty dope, bro. You know, first and foremost, I'm going to kind of get on you for a minute here. You know, you did mention, if you didn't win this last fight, that, you know, thoughts of retirement. You know, I've heard that so many times. As you know, I interview thousands of fighters. And But one thing that, and I'm sure that thought has changed now, being in the, under the influence and friendship with the Misfits of Gold. But you know, I've had fighters on here that, you know, were like, "Bro, I lost my last three or my last six, and I'm gonna retire." And I'm like, "Man, don't do it, don't do it." And then 6-7 months later, I bring them back on, and they've won three or four straight. And I've had world champions that are world champions now, you know, that were kicked out of the UFC, and they weren't getting any fight offers. Hell, they weren't even getting asked to come on radio shows. And you bring them on, and next thing you know, they're in Titan FC, or, you know, they've moved on. And, you know, that's one thing I try to explain to everybody, man. Nobody knows who's going to win a fight until the cage door locks. You know, one thing I look at is records is the most pathetic aspect added to the sport of mixed martial arts, because a record defines somebody. And you truly can't define, because the sport is a never-ending process. You're continually learning. And I think it's anybody's fight when the cage door locks. So I think they need to take away that win-loss ratio, because, first of all, y'all can never lose. You know, you can learn a lesson, but you can never lose. You know, life isn't about losing. It's about learning, whether you're a fireman, a cop, a journalist, whatever. You take away a lesson from each and every outing. And, yeah, I just like to share that because, you know, you never know what the next corner holds for you in life. You know, when you look at the cage and you look at where you're at in life, when are you ready to step back up in there? And, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Thoughts on what exactly?
Getting back up in the octagon.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to get back right away. I hurt my shoulder real bad about 8 weeks before my last fight, and I'm still kind of dealing with that. So I've been, just rehabbing my injuries. I had a strain in my meniscus a couple months ago, and I couldn't walk for a couple days. But, I mean, everything's starting to get better. There's always something I can be training, you know. I'm going to go see Dr. Angelo from NorCal Spine Sport up in El Dorado Hills. Shameless plug right there. Awesome dude. Awesome guy if you ever need chiropractor work. But, yeah, I'm looking to get back September 30th, hopefully, at the very latest. And I'll be fighting at 145, which is a better weight class for me. I'm really not that big, especially not for 155ers. I know some 145ers that cut more weight than I do. So I'll be back at 145, and I think I'll be feeling great, you know, and I'm excited. I'm excited about everything. Coach Doug, he's an awesome nutritionist. You know, I know him and MF don't only see eye to eye and stuff, but I love his nutrition program, and I've been doing his strength and conditioning, so I'm excited for the whole everything to come together for that. You know, I love feeling good, man. I love being the best person that I can be. There's just something special about that. You can't buy that, you know. No matter how much money you have, you can't buy that.
Most definitely. You know, when you dig deeper into Jordan Bailey, what are your thoughts on altruism?
What's truism? I'm not.
You know, basically, it's what the Misfits of Gold are based upon. It's being able to be yourself, being able to share what's real in life, not conforming to, you know, what society says you have to be, being able to be yourself and speak your mind.
Oh, yeah, no, fuck yeah, I'm, definitely 100% about that, you know. Like I said, fucking all my family, they're all from the hood, fucking all from the reservation stuff. So they're all about being real and always being proud, you know, native pride all the way. Never be embarrassed to represent yourself. And I got Irish pride too, you know. I'm representing both sides, and I represent them proudly, and I love both sides of my heritage equally, you know. And I'm sure both sides have done good and bad things, but either way, you know, you got to stick, you got to stick with those things, so the good and the bad.
See, one thing that you might not know, you're a mini minority version of me. I'm Cherokee and
yeah.
Irish, man.
That's right. You're telling me about that.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I run the American Indian Fighters Network, and you know, somebody asked me,
which I think is fucking awesome, dude.
Thank you. You know, people ask me, and I don't even know your thoughts on this, but these are my thoughts because I believe everybody should, you know, share their true thoughts about life. And, you know, I've made some enemies over it, but a lot of people have understood. And they said, why don't you celebrate 4th of July, Don? And I said, okay, well, look at it this way. I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. And I said, the reason I don't is because I said, in reality, you know, back in the day, my ancestors truly brought these people in out of the cold. They fed the people that came over from England, and they did all this, and they ended up, you know, killing my ancestors. And then, this, you know, I said, the reason I don't celebrate 4th of July is, first of all, are we truly Americans? I said, there's no such thing as a true American. We talk about freedom. But why am I going to celebrate freedom when it was taken from my ancestors? Then you look at, they say, well, it's Independence Day. Well, I'm not English. I'm Cherokee and Irish, you know, and the United States is basically was an extension of the English colony. So when you look at it in that aspect, those two holidays don't exist to me. How does it sit in the heart of Jordan Bailey? Are you there? I think we lost Jordan. Let's try to give him a call back.
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voice mailbox that has not been set up yet.
You gotta love the internet, you know? You just gotta roll with the punches.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, Jordan. I don't know how much of my question you heard.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on with my phone, but I heard you were asking about the 4th of July. But,
So, you know, you got my point, I guess.
Yeah. Like I said, I agree and I disagree. I agree to the fact that, you know, it is ironic celebrating independence on freedom when it was really stolen from a lot of people, you know, a whole culture. But at the same time, what would be ideal is if we could kind of like link everyone together and celebrate like maybe like a coming together of communities or something, or I don't know, you know, I don't have the answer for everything, but if there's like any way to just recognize Native Americans more, because you don't see these holidays for Native Americans, you know? You see these holidays for Christopher Columbus, you see the 4th of July, you know? You see President's Day, but I definitely do think there needs to be more recognition for Natives and their culture and really everything in general, you know? And I think that's why a lot of Native Americans are really upset over this.
Yeah, when you take it even deeper, I mean, you've got Martin Luther King Day, you've got so many other days that are you know, recognized, and it's just disheartening to me because, you know, my ancestors, when I look back, they were true warriors before the sport of mixed martial arts even was a conception. They were fighters. They had to live off the land. They had to struggle, and then, you know, to ultimately have their lives, you know, taken and put into slavery and things of that nature. And I think every nationality should be, you know, have a day of entitlement, whether it be Celebration Day for all or whatever. But I agree with you. I think that, you know, the American Indians have gone unjust and in that aspect. But, you know, it's America. Things are never going to change. Things only transpire when it makes sense to the government or other people of great magnitude. And, you know,
if it makes sense economically, you know.
Yeah. Right? You know, one of the reasons why I was glad we got to do today's show is because you're one of the Misfits of Gold that I haven't had on in a minute. And, you know, we kind of touch bases on a lot of things. And, you know, when you look back at all the steps that you've had to take where you've gotten, Jordan, what would you say would be your greatest takeaway in life thus far as a young man?
You know, I hate to be that cliche and repeat myself, but like I said, just really opening my mind up and trying to become a true martial artist outside of the cage, you know, because it makes a world of difference. Like when I'm at work, instead of like being negative or something, like I'm excited about going to practice the next day, you know. And I don't have to worry about, like, looking behind my back, you know, see what's going on, like, starting this or that. And, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I love gathering attention and stuff, you know. But having an open mind is definitely a really good one. And another one actually is being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and see where someone else is coming from, as opposed to just thinking of where you're seeing them as, you know, like you don't understand like what this person has gone through or what this person has had to do all day. And just really trying to understand like, man, like if I grew up that way, maybe I would be jaded as well, you know? So I think that's another very, very important thing I've learned as a person that's helped me out a lot.
I dig on that, bro, because I brought MF back on a show with me, I think it was about maybe a week or two ago, with Crew Yawadi Hurst. And she was the youngest and only female ever inducted into being a great grandmaster in the traditional aspects of Muay Thai in Thailand. And I told MF, I said, dude, do you want to hear a true martial artist come on my show Sunday? And he did. And, you know, he asked her a question, and it basically shocked both of us, because, you know, he asked her, what did it mean to be where she's at? And she was like, you know, that means nothing to me. She says, what I want to do in my walk in life is go meet other instructors and go back deeper into the sport, so I can discover what it is to be a true martial artist and what a true martial artist is. And to hear that from somebody that
is
already considered,
you know?
Yeah, and she's a great grandmaster in the sport. So it was like, it left me and MF just, I guess, with our jaws on the ground, because you don't hear that humility. Well, bro, the humility was unreal. And I've interviewed her 3 or 4 times, and in the last year, and it's because, you know, every time I see where the sport has taken my thought, and I get pissed off, and I say, screw this, and I throw my cameras in the car, and I say, I don't want to do this shit no more. Then I know it's time for me to bring her back on, because she gives you the platform, the basis, and the theory of why we all exist. You know, people want to look at the sport of mixed martial arts and think, oh, wow, the UFC created that. No, the UFC is just a fucking promotion. The true theory of mixed martial arts is thousands of years old. So all they're really utilizing and understanding is just a minute portion of what you guys truly are. And to hear you want to find the true aspect of what it is to be a mixed martial artist makes you even more of a profound person in life.
Oh, yeah, definitely, you know.
It just shows the growth in the mindset of where you're at now comparative to the first interview we had. It, you know, my friend, it seems like you're on the right path in life. You've found the right circle, the right combination, if you say, you know, to get you where you are. What other things would Jordan Bailey like to see transpire in the future?
You know, just continue to be a good person. Like I said, just continue with my martial arts journey as far as that goes. Keep winning fights, and, you know, I need to go up and visit my reservation more, maybe talk to some of the kids up there. I would love to help them out, you know. But, yeah, for the most part.
Righteous. That's truly cool. You know, Jordan, we're getting to the end of this interview, so if there was a statement you could make about the sport or life in general, or just any thought that you would like to get out there, what would that be, son?
It would be to be able to put yourself in other people's shoes and see where other people are coming from, you know, because I feel like that's just a lot of the biggest problems right now, you know. Don't just judge things immediately and really try to see things from someone else's point of view, because like you said, that's probably changed my mindset and the way I've been acting more than anything in recent memory.
Well said. You know, I think you have a tremendous future in front of you. You're a wise young man, and you seem to be growing in knowledge each and every time that I speak with you. You know, I look forward to having you on more of these MMA Gold, Misfits of Gold specials. On that note, I'm going to toss the microphone over to you. Any friends, any family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program? The floor is yours, Jordan.
Catch me online at Jordan Jitsu, Twitter, Instagram, everything. Huge shout out to John's World Famous Barbershop for always keeping my hair clean. NorCal Spine Sport, obviously. MMA Gold for being a great gym, you know, MF. If you're in Folsom, check out NutriSport. You got the best kickboxing around. That's where I'm training. And this weekend, if you're in the California area, there's a Vallejo powwow going on. Definitely check that out if you're looking to get into Native American culture. It's a really good one. My grandparents actually helped run that one. There's another powwow in August on the 11th, I believe, and that will be in Sacramento. And my grandparents also run that one. So if you really are looking to kind of check out Native American culture and see what it's about, it's a really beautiful thing. So definitely go check those out if you guys can.
Hey, Jordan, there's a call on the line. I'm going to go ahead and take it if it ends up being not the right type of call. I'll hang up on it immediately, but let's see what they got to say. This is a Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire. How can, well, they hung up on me, so evidently they didn't like being put on the spot. righteous. You know, it's always good when somebody calls in and you know that they know that they're going to get exactly whatever they dish out, and you know, it might have just been somebody calling in to listen. You know, my brother, it's been a tremendous day with you. I look forward to having many, many more of these. If you're in the Sacramento area, look up Jordan Bailey. You know, Jordan, where can they find you on social media so they might be able to touch in on these powwows and things and other parts of your life that you got going on, bro?
Just look up Jordan Bailey on Facebook, and then for Twitter on Instagram, it's at Jordan Jitsu, J-I-T-S-U. And the full thing is J-O-R-D-A-N-J-I-T-S-U.
Yeah. Well, the same people called back, but I'm not going to answer, you know. On that note, it's been a tremendous interview. I look forward to doing many more things with you and the Misfits of Gold. I truly appreciate you taking this time out of your day to share with my listeners. I wish you a tremendous day, brother.
I appreciate you having me on, man. I hope you have an awesome day, too.
You too, bro. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen.
Peace out, man.
Jordan Bailey. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jordan Bailey from the Misfits of Gold. Truly unique young man. You know, I really like him, man. His walk in life is truly changed since he's found the Misfits of Gold through MF Beck. you know, as with many, many others, these fighters are realizing that sometimes conformity is a hindrance in life. On that note, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, Affliction, United Way Merced, the 86ers.net. On that note, let's go ahead and play a little bit more old school on our way out. You have a good day and God bless.